Good afternoon and welcome to the Legislation and Public Outreach Committee meeting for Thursday, April 23rd, 2026. I'm Chair Valentin Macedo and this meeting is now called to order. Nydia, will you please call the roll?
Chair Macedo.
Present.
Vice Chair Acosta. Vice Chair Ray.
Present.
Director Buckowitz.
Here.
Hilliker.
Here.
Katz.
Here.
Lines.
Here.
Madaffer. Molina.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Norman.
Here.
Whalen. Whitburn. Williams.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum of the committee.
Thank you. As we discuss items on the agenda, I will be calling on directors who push their speaker button. Please limit your comments to matters not already addressed and state all your points when you have a chance to speak so we can move through our agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda? None. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any public speakers.
This is for public comment on items on the Legislation and Public Outreach Committee agenda or under the jurisdiction of the Legislation and Public Outreach Committee. If there are public speakers in the Zoom waiting room, please raise your hand through the Zoom app or press star 9 if listening by phone. I see none.
Thank you. This time we'll move to the chair's report. I'd like to report or begin by recognizing our public affairs team for an outstanding run over the past few months. You can read details in the quarterly activities report, but it's worth pointing out a few highlights. On the media front, we saw local and regional and national coverage positioning the Water Authority as an innovative leader addressing climate variability and water affordability. Staff also supported dozens of speaking opportunities and events. They included a partnership with Helix Water District to host a Water Academy alumni tour, water transfer celebrations with Eastern and Western Water Districts, and partnering with the Water Resources Department to host the desal plant tour for board members. In addition, the Water Authority's expanded digital presence includes the launch of a new podcast and newsletter from the general manager. We'll hear more from Public Affairs in a few minutes about workforce development efforts. And that concludes the chair's report. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any directors with comments. Seeing none, we'll move through our agenda. We'll start with the consent calendar. We have one item on the consent calendar this month to adopt positions on various legislation. First, adopt position of support on S-3737, the Grow Smart Act. Next, adopt a position of support on S-3738, the More Water Act. Adopt a position of support on AB 1893, Wildfire Prevention Local Assistance Grant Program. Adopt a position of support on AB 2739, Community Water Affordability and System Stabilization Act of 2026. And finally, adopt a position of support on SB 1313, Public Water Systems Grants Loans PFAS. Do I have a motion to pass the consent calendar?
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, moved by Katz, second by Molina. Is that right? Okay. It's not a roll call, right? Okay. Any questions? All those in, question, Director Molina.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to just point out on S-3738, I know that we've had some concerns on alignment with the city of San Diego. Just a couple of questions. So I just want to make sure that we continue to have those conversations offsite, and we're checking in with our government relations folks. And I just want to make sure that as we move forward, that we can continue to have dialogue in regards to how this will impact us as well.
Yeah, thank you. I was just made aware yesterday of some concerns. And so I'll definitely be working and following up. And this is going to be a long process, so we'll have time to work through.
Okay, thank you. At this time, all those in support, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The item passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move into our action, discussion, presentation items. First up, from our government relations manager, Megan Quarles, will provide a government relations update followed by a presentation from our federal and state lobbyists.
Good afternoon. So I'm going to give you a couple of updates and then we will pass it off to our lobbyists. On the federal side, I just wanted to let you know, well, actually on the federal and state side, we are enjoying going around and kind of doing the celebration tour of all of the transfers and what's happening, because as you're aware, we've been talking about this for a long time with our delegation members as something that would, you know, that we're working towards and working to get their support in case we need it in the future too. So Daniel and I have been talking with staff that we've been working with for a long time. And then we also we're setting up meetings with our congressional reps and our state reps soon. So that has been very exciting for us to be able to follow through, and they're all really thrilled about what we're doing. On the state side, I really just wanted to highlight one bill and would love to have some discussion if you have any and any thoughts. So the low income water rate assistance bill that just, you know, last year we've had a lot of conversations on SB 350. There's a new bill this year, SB 1125. And essentially what SB 1125 did was take the SB 350 and all the amendments that CMUA and AQUA were asking for and put it into that bill. So, the funding portion of it though, which was the big part, is in a separate bill. So that's in, AB 2739. And, eventually we think the bills may end up merging together. But we will see on that, but that's where the funding portion comes from. The difference with this bill is instead of looking at different percentages and stuff, it's a flat rate credit. So it would be a $20 flat rate credit on customers' bills. The legislation requires the state board to contract with a third party so that that third party can do the work. The water agencies will have to provide their customer lists so that they can then compare with those customers that are enrolled in the programs that work. And then they essentially would, very, very similar to how the LIWAP program worked, they would give that list to the water agency to then give that credit to those customers. And they would continue working on it on an ongoing basis. So they would continue doing any new enrollments and everything, this third party provider, so that it wouldn't be on the water agencies to do it. So that part, you know, really should be really helpful. A lot of the water agencies we talked to wanted it similar to the LIWAP program, and that's what this bill is trying to do. Their AQUA took a support if amended position and have worked through the amendments that they wanted, the amendments that they were looking at. Really, they wanted additional clarity that the program did not have to be implemented unless there was funding. So the, author agreed to that amendment as that was their intent. And then they did have some language that already stated that, but they're going to make it even more clear that there will not be a program unless there is that state funding available. And also they're going to clarify that that funding would come to the agencies prior to you having to provide that credit. So it won't be in after the fact, it'll be prior to that credit. So, you know, it's definitely, in the time that I've been working in water, the best low income bill that I have seen. We did not bring it to this meeting because when I presented it to the member agencies, they were still really delving through it, looking through it. I've had some email conversations. I've had, you know, really good conversations trying on some that really want to support it and then some that still have some concerns. So I am bringing it to all of you for discussion. If you have any questions or anything, any input on your thoughts on it, if you've even looked at the language or your agency has.
Director Myers.
I know that my agency is still looking through it, and it sounds like amendments and changes are still kind of happening in real time. So I don't think my agency is ready yet in terms of a position that that they have on it. So I guess my question is timing on this. At what point are you planning on coming back and asking the board to actually take a position? Because it seems like it's still kind of a bit of a moving target.
Yeah, it is moving though. So, I mean, my plan would be, I would like to bring it next month. Because it is continuing to move the process, and I think those amendments will be made by then. And also, just for everybody's information, there's currently no opposition to the bill.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it would be helpful as maybe at the point that you feel that the bill is pretty much baked, and if it happens, so, you know, before the next meeting and before the next agenda, at least for me personally, if you could share kind of where it's at, so that we know that we're there, at least as far as it's going to go.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you,
Director Katz.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Did you say that it was a flat rate of $20 a month?
Correct.
Yeah. We've been talking about ratepayer relief for so long. And the thing that has always stopped it is agencies had to be involved with administering it. And that looks like that's taken care of on this, and not having the funds in the bill. And therefore, having the funds in the bill, both of these things put together, I think make this sound so great. Do you think it's something that is on track to be approved in this legislative session?
I do think it's on track to be approved. I also think the funding bill is on track to be approved, but when the legislature actually appropriates the funds is more of the question that I'm not sure if that will happen this year, but it will all be set for when the legislature anytime can appropriate the funds, and then it will start moving forward.
It's great. And this is, to me, something very positive, something that we've been looking for a long time. And I can't wait until it comes back to this board for approval.
Thank you, Director Katz. Director Arendt?
Yeah, Valley Center has been consistently concerned about this bill. Just from a standpoint of water agencies are water agencies. We weren't designed to be social welfare qualifying and benefits application agencies. So I'm glad to hear that it's kind of going back to the LIWAP format, which I think is, there's a structure there for this, and we should utilize it and let the state do the cross-referencing of the databases and then tell us what to do. I am concerned, and I haven't seen the language lately because I'm retired now, of course, but that I want to make sure that if it's not state or federal funded, somehow it doesn't shift over to local funding.
Yeah, that's very clear.
There's got to be a really there's got to be a wall there so that we don't wake up one morning and realize we've got to come up with a funding source because there was some weasel wording in the bill. So I trust you to look at that.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
Thank you. Director Flessy.
Thank you. This is exciting. It sounds like it's going in the positive direction. However, there are some nuances that still need to be addressed. I think it needs also to be very clear that the state will not only provide the funding, but will also provide the oversight and will continue to provide the oversight and will not put this on the member agencies. Or the regular agencies, because I don't think that's exactly clear. And there is some hesitation on some of the agencies, because if this does not get supported and run by the state, then you're talking about an additional 2 to 3 FTEs to run these kind of programs in our agencies. So I just want to make sure, again, adding to Director Arendt, you know, we're not set up this way, and so we can't run these types of programs. It would really take us out of our element. And in addition, with that contract with that third party, there has to be some guidelines of security breaches in that, because there's a lot of personal information that goes.
They did spell that out in the
okay,
bill. The
good,
first part, I'm not sure on the oversight. I'll look into that
okay,
more.
Thank you.
But I know on that second part with the third party, they're very clear about.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that the first time around. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Director Rivera?
Yes. Of interest to me is the qualification for low income, that once they qualify, Is this for 1 year, 5 years? How often is that test going to occur? Because in my experience, when I was responsible for the wastewater system in Chula Vista, we'd have the low income program, but then at a particular point in time, they qualify. Then you have other wage earners move into that household, and that household itself is not a low income anymore, but they've qualified. And so you have to kind of keep checking to make sure that they still meet the criteria. And then the second part of it is on the purpose of the bill, it says particularly served by those community water systems with fewer than 3,000 connections. And so I just want to be clear that it's even for those water agencies that have more than 3,000 connections.
It is, but if there was limited funding, they would start with those that have the less than 3,000. So, the disadvantaged community areas. So there's
a priority order?
Correct.
Tier one?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Those are all my questions.
I still see a couple hands. Director Katz, are you okay? Director Rant, you came back on.
Just to real quick and verify that it's the state or the third party contractor that will verify.
Correct.
Our established qualification.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, then I will hand it over to our federal lobbyist, Kevin Eastman, for his update.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, committee members. As Megan said, the announcement of the draft MOU with Interior regarding interstate transfers has been extremely well received in Washington, both within the California delegation and on the committees of jurisdiction. It really is possibly the lone bright spot in an increasingly dire situation in the Colorado Basin. So we're looking forward to amplifying, you know, the message that San Diego County Water Authority is a productive player in this situation and bringing something to the table to help the situation. More recently, just last week, members of the delegation led by Scott Peters and including Sarah Jacobs, Representative Levin, and Representative Vargas sent a letter to the Interior Department endorsing the authority's comments on the draft EIS for post-2026 operations on the Colorado River. That's effectively the delegation putting their stamp of approval on what the authority has advocated for in future Colorado River operations. It helps us leverage, you know, their perspective, even if they aren't engaged in a particular meeting. We can reference that and demonstrate that we have support in our region for what we're advocating for. Since our last update to the committee, the Trump administration has released its fiscal year 2027 budget request. Overall, it looks quite similar to the fiscal year 2026 budget request. For the Bureau of Reclamation, it requests approximately a 26% decrease in overall funding. That is the same requested decrease we saw in the fiscal 2026 request. This year's request differs a little bit from that in that there are proposed reductions to programs specific to the Colorado River and important to the basin generally. And also tangentially, you know, there is again a proposed zeroing out of the Water Smart program, which we know that authority member agencies have made use of in the past and would like to have access to in the future. On the positive side, you know, as we saw with the fiscal 2026 process, you know, Congress rejected that size of a reduction to reclamation funding. While the requested reduction last year was about 26%, what Congress ultimately enacted was closer to about a 5.5% to 6% reduction in overall reclamation funding. Last Thursday, an Assistant Secretary of the Interior with jurisdiction over the Bureau of Reclamation and other water-related functions testified before the House Appropriations Committee. She was met with bipartisan pushback from members of the subcommittee. You know, both Democrats and Republicans said that this level of funding is inadequate to address water needs across the country, to address water needs in the Colorado, and to address ongoing, you know, water supply issues nationally. We've been working with members of the delegation, and particularly Congressman Calvert, and Congressman Levin, who both serve on the House Energy and Water Subcommittee, to ensure that they are aware of the authority's priorities. The subcommittee markup of the House Energy and Water Appropriations Bill, which funds the Bureau of Reclamation, is scheduled for May 15th. We should know a few days prior to that what that bill is actually going to look like in terms of funding levels broadly and also for the specific programs we're concerned about. We're, I want to say, cautiously optimistic that Congress will again reject the size of the cut that the administration is proposing. And the full committee markup of that bill is scheduled for May 20th. So we'll have two opportunities to address any real acute issues that are particular to the authority's concerns or to the Colorado or programs like WaterSmart broadly, if those haven't been addressed as they've drafted the bill over the next couple of weeks. The Senate hasn't yet scheduled any of its appropriations hearings. We think it's likely that we'll see even more reticence on that side to impose a cut the size that the administration is requesting. But the Senate typically moves a lot more slowly than the House. So there's a bit more lead time for us to work on members of the Senate, ensure they know the authority's perspectives, and ensure those are incorporated into any final product that the Appropriations Committee produces. I think that's the extent of, you know, federal activity on our side. I'm happy to answer questions about any of those things I just raised. You know, obviously, Reclamation took some steps over the last couple of weeks, making their intentions for near-term operations on the Colorado more clear. But I suspect the imported water team has already addressed those.
Are there any questions for our federal team? Okay.
All right. Then we'll hand it over to David Quintana from our state team.
Hi, good afternoon. The only update that I'll have today is I just want to make sure that I provide clarity in where we are in the legislative year here in Sacramento. Today was a big deadline. Today was the deadline for all policy bills with a fiscal effect to get out of policy committee. The next deadline will be next Thursday, and those bills that do not have a fiscal effect, that will be their deadline to get out of policy committee. The suspense deadline, that is the date upon which most of the bills that go to appropriations are placed on what's called the suspense list. And on May 14th, a list is read. And if your bill is released, you're out of appropriations. If your bill is not read, then you are held and that bill is dead. That will happen next on May 14th. And that will be the same day that the governor gives the May revise. He will give his May revise also on May 14th. And then the big day is going to be May 29th, and that is the House of Origin deadline. So, the, you know, some of the bills that we've been talking about today, they must get out of their House of Origin by May 29th. The only other thing that I wanted to mention is that on May 4th, ballots will be mailed out. They have to be mailed out no later than May 4th. So votes will begin to come in our gubernatorial primary, which will be on June 2nd. And early voting opens also on May 4th. So right now we had a debate. We have still in the race are Steve Hilton, Tom Steyer, Javier Becerra, Chad Bianco, Katie Porter, and Matt Mahan. Antonio Villaraigosa and Tony Thurman are still in, but they were not invited to the debate. They were left off. So obviously that they're still in the race, but that doesn't portend well when, you know, they didn't get to be on the big stage. And as you know, Betty Yee just dropped out. So anyway, I just want to give clarity on where we are in the year. And I can hand it back to you, Megan, if there are no questions.
I see a hand from Director Katz.
Yeah, David, I don't know if you heard our earlier conversation, but we were talking about ratepayer relief. And we were talking about two different bills, SB 1125 and AB 2739. And the AB bill is the one that has funding in it. What do you, based on what you said earlier about funding bills, where does that put AB 2739?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. And I am familiar with 2739. I would give it a 60 to 70% chance of getting out of appropriation, but it's not a clear shot out of appropriations. And here is why. Though there is no funding included in the bill, what they've begun to call budget pressure. And so if they believe that a bill will have what they call budget pressure in future budget years, which you can make an argument that this would have budget pressure in the future, that bill could be held. That could be an argument for the bill to be held. I think, though, that if that's going to happen, it might happen in the second house. It might not happen in the first house. So I would give it a better than 50% chance to get out of appropriations. I hope that provides a little bit of clarity on that.
Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from directors? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you. Okay. Next, Megan will provide us with a presentation on SB 872. Megan?
All right, thank you. So I'm bringing to you two bills, and the first one is Senate Bill 872 that I did not put on the consent calendar. And really the reason they're not on consent is that they don't clearly meet our legislative policy guidelines. But that said, we do have some other guidelines on the State Water Project, and they do meet those guidelines. So I just wanted to be sure. It's just not with our legislative policy guidelines. So that's why we brought them separate from the consent calendar. This is a priority bill for Metropolitan, and they have asked us to engage on this bill and the next bill. So basically, this bill would mandate $150 million annually for water infrastructure and repairs and $150 million annually to Delta Conservancy for levee improvements. Originally, when this bill was first being drafted, they were looking for the funding to come from the greenhouse gas emissions. They broadened it where the funding could come from a variety. It could come as an appropriation from the state, could come, some of it could come from greenhouse gas emissions, could come from federal funding. So they just kind of opened up where the funding could come from for this. As you know, the levees are in bad shape. And so they really do need that repair to help with subsidence. There's climate change issues. And so with really having a funding that's going to go towards these projects is very important. If you have not been on one of these tours, you may not have seen, but if you go on the tours, you can really see the impact of land subsidence. It's really eye-opening, I think, when you are actually there and see it. And there's just no question that there's definitely a need for these repairs to take place. So the benefits of Senate Bill S-872 is improved water infrastructure, climate and operational benefits, funding and access, and then risk mitigation and reliability. So with that, our recommendation is to support Senate Bill 872.
Director Molina?
Yes, I move to support. Thank you.
Is there a second? Second. Director Katz? Any questions, comments? Okay, all those in favor, say aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Let's get right into the next one. AB 2215.
Great. So as I mentioned, this is another state water project bill. This bill, from my original write-up, I just want to make it clear that there was an amendment. So in my original write-up, it talked about that this bill would extend the permit deadlines to sometime in 2085, I think. They did change that to 2047. So it's still extending the permit deadlines, but they changed that to only be till 2047. And so that allows the State Water Project to have time and have that legal certainty that they have those water rights. They still will go through all of the environmental compliance for those water rights. And this just really will, again, help as climate adaptation and the State Water Project is working through whatever project they're going to do. I do want to make it clear that in the bill, it does say that this does not do any kind of approving of any type of project. So they're not approving looking at the tunnels. They're not doing any of that. It's just allowing them to continue to hold those water rights until 2047.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Director Katz. Any comments, any questions? Okay.
I'm sorry, who made the motion?
Director Molina.
Thank you.
And okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Next, Mike Lee will provide a report on our recent public affairs.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to update you on a public outreach and education program that we are refreshing to foster future water professionals. On behalf of the Water Authority and member agencies across the region. This committee has provided strong encouragement for these efforts over many months now, and I look forward to your continued ideas and insight and partnerships to maximize our impact. For this presentation, I'm pleased to introduce Alex Heckman, who joined us last fall and has taken the lead on developing these collaborative efforts with partners across the region's educational institutions, with, of course, our member agencies, internal experts who, our staff leads who often represent us in talking with students, and then, of course, our HR department, who we partner with for this. So with that, Alex will provide us a little bit of background, some context, and then an update on where we are today.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, Chair Macedo and members of the committee and board. I'm Alex Heckman, and I'm here today to share an update on the Water Authority's workforce development and education outreach efforts. This item is part of the Public Affairs Quarterly Activities Report that can be found on page 66 of your board packet. Today, I'll share how the Public Affairs team is working in coordination with Human Resources to strengthen the region's water workforce pipeline through education, outreach, and strategic partnerships. And we'll then connect those efforts to the recruitment needs of our member agencies. The need is significant. Roughly half of our water workforce in San Diego County will be eligible to retire in the next 5 years, putting pressure on efforts to attract the best and brightest to our industry. In a recent survey through the Joint Public Information Council, Water Authority member agencies reported their top challenges in hiring as a shortage of qualified applicants, a competitive labor market, awareness of water industry career opportunities, and low bandwidth for staff participation in community events. Their survey responses underscore why a coordinated regional approach to filling our pipeline is so important and why expanding our presence in this space has been a priority since I came on board about 7 months ago. Public Affairs' role is to support the Water Authority's recruitment efforts and at the same time enhance water industry outreach in support of member agencies. We can accomplish this by providing opportunities for students and job seekers to encounter the water sector at multiple points in their educational journeys, by cultivating strategic relationships and community partnerships, and by serving as a regional hub for shared resources and information. Let's talk about what that looks like practically. The Water Authority has several partnerships that enable those educational touch points for students. For example, our partnership with Shows That Teach, the first image on the screen there, brings engaging presentations about water to elementary schools in San Diego County. During the 2024-2025 school year, more than 20,000 students from 48 schools learned about where their water comes from and the value of our water supply through these assembly programs. Shortly after I started with the Water Authority last fall, I had one of my most energizing days at work when I got to attend one of these performances at Audubon Elementary in South County. The kids there, and there were hundreds in the auditorium that day, were completely locked into this presentation and just actively participating with their hands shooting up to answer questions or volunteer to be a part of the next skit. In addition, the Water Authority has a partnership with the Fleet Science Center at Balboa Park, where we sponsor a water exhibit. And that's the second image you see on the screen. The center sees hundreds of thousands of visitors each year, and the water exhibit there is yet another touch point for young people and their families to learn about San Diego's water sources with interactive elements to help illustrate the process of water treatment and delivery. We also partner with the San Diego County Office of Education on several initiatives with a focus on reaching low-income communities around the region. For instance, we've created career cards for their Linda Vista Innovation Center for students to learn more about different water career paths. More than 5,000 students interact with these career cards annually. And finally, we also offer a mobile splash lab through the San Diego County Office of Education. The splash lab offers 4th through 8th grade students a hands-on opportunity to learn about watershed issues in Southern California. It's available to member agencies in a cost-share partnership with the Water Authority. These education partnerships have been a lot of fun to work on, especially with two of my own school-aged kids at home. Now, let's shift gears and talk about how we're expanding community outreach and engagement. In partnership with the Water Authority HR team, we've really boosted our participation in career fairs and community events throughout the region, and I believe represented our water industry well. This year so far, we've gone to 7 community events with an estimated 1,700 people who have stopped to talk with us or taken our materials. I've been able to learn a lot by being in the community at these events with our HR team. It's our goal moving forward to maintain a constant and consistent presence in the community, guided by an intentional focus on engagement in economically disadvantaged areas. Toward that end, this year we've attended 2 new career events in underserved neighborhoods and look forward to continuing to build on this outreach with new tools and through new venues. Because we've been out in the community more, we've noticed a need to refresh our collateral and in some cases create new materials. You'll see some examples on the screen here. The first is a new business card we're taking to career fairs these days, and that links directly to our SanDiegoWaterWorks.org website, which is a one-stop shop for local water jobs. We've also worked with other large water agencies in California to support the development of career ladders. That's the example you see in the middle. You're seeing the cover page here, but there are other pages that follow with career progressions for the roles that are listed just under that flyer. These in particular have been an excellent visual resource in the field for talking through career paths for critical positions. You'll also see the refreshed flyer on the right for our regional internship program, which is always a popular topic of discussion when we're out in the community. These and other resources are shared with our member agencies digitally through a shared folder. And lastly, before we move on, we recently began developing recruitment materials in Spanish to attract a wider audience. This effort will help us ensure our messaging to the community is both accessible and culturally responsive. Growing our digital presence is another key component of our workforce strategy. In recent months, we've taken steps to update our regional water jobs website, SanDiegoWaterWorks.org, with more planned. We're also celebrating the recent launch of the Water Authority's TikTok channel focused on workforce development specifically, with encouragement from this board. If you're on TikTok, please give us a follow and help us spread the word as we continue, thank you, to develop a content plan to make the most of this platform. Before we move on, we'd like to share an example of the workforce development content we're sharing on TikTok and on our other social platforms. So we'll play a short video for you. Pretty cool, right? I have to give Marlene a shout out. She presented at a recent board meeting. She's our resident social media maven, and I'm just thrilled to have her skill and support on our team as we work to promote this program. Lastly, another key component of the Water Authority's workforce development plan is strengthening our strategic partnerships for greater impact. We're accomplishing this by collaborating with workforce groups, some of which you see here. Many of these groups are focused on helping communities that have historically lacked opportunities. One such example is an event the Water Authority is co-hosting with the East County Economic Development Council's Skilled Workforce Committee and Padre Dam Municipal Water District next month. It's a water workforce panel discussion with representatives from Padre Dam and Otay Water District, accompanied by a tour of the new East County Advanced Water Purification Facility. Another example is the Water Authority's participation in an upcoming water sector panel discussion at San Diego State University. Our engineering manager and SDSU grad, Jason Gornall, will join to talk about his journey. And finally, we're continuing to support regional educational efforts like the Greater San Diego Science and Engineering Fair, which took place last month. We were grateful to have directors Morrison and Buckowicz join as judges. You'll get to hear more about that in a video recap during formal board. Thank you. That concludes my presentation.
Great job, Alex. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any questions, comments. Director Molina.
Hi, I just wanted to congratulate you. And I also wanted to thank the team because I actually suggested a while back Southwestern College and coming to the South Bay. So I appreciate seeing that on there on the list of new events that you attended. So I appreciate that as well. In regards to our TikToks, I'm really looking forward to seeing some dance videos with Dan and Nick. I'd really pay for that myself. And yes, you too, Neil. And so if we can do something with them, I would be amazing. I'm pretty sure we'll get about 1 million followers after that. So thank you. Good job.
Thank you. Great feedback and suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Kirschbaum.
I'm not on this committee, so I appreciate the opportunity to speak, Chairman. So this is awesome. Workforce development, thank you so much for all the work that you've done over the last 3 months. I just wanted to bring up another kind of public affairs concern that I didn't see in the presentation, and that is outreach on our water transfer agreements. The public is really confused right now because we're celebrating these water transfer agreements, which is a reason for celebration because everybody in this room knows the history, knows the last 30 years and what this means for our agency. But the public is really confused because they're hearing messages to conserve. They're hearing on the news that the Colorado River is drying up. And then they hear that we're celebrating because we're selling water. So what I would like to see in the next presentation is, what's the plan going forward to kind of educate the public? Because I think it's going to be a situation where if we're in front of the narrative and we form the narrative, we're going to be in a lot better position, especially as electeds, to kind of answer questions from our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you. I would just note that we actually updated our FAQs and posted it to the website yesterday with the question of how can we transfer water when there is a drought and have an answer to that so we can distribute that to all of you. I mean, I just would note, there's been a significant investment over conservation messaging over the last 20 years, and it's going to be pretty difficult to change the mindset in a couple months with our transfers, but we'll be happy to come back with our thoughts on how to move forward.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I totally understand. I mean, it's a really hard message to get to the public because it's so nuanced and most people aren't going to really want to take the time to know the history. So it's like really challenging for you guys as public affairs professionals to figure out how to get this message out. I don't discount that at all. And I guess the only thing I would like to see is like, what's the plan and what do you think you can do? It's just kind of becoming a topic of conversation with constituents out there. And the FAQs were great. I think that's a really good start, especially when constituents reach out to us, we have those FAQs to share with them, which I already did that. But again, like where is the outreach and what's kind of the plan, It's a really hard thing. So I totally recognize that.
Thank you for recognizing that. I appreciate it. I'll give a shout out to Director Freehoff if she's still online, who talked about, something similar in that we're showing that we have enough water to be able to be doing these transfers. And so you'll see in all of our messaging that we do reference the urban water management plan in just about everything we do right now when we're talking about the transfers that show we have that availability of water. So that is something that we've started as well. Mike, did you want to add something? I see you kind of moving around.
Thank you, Jamie. And I appreciate the acknowledgement of the challenge that this moment creates, as well as the opportunity. We'll be happy to come back and talk more about this, but I don't want to let a month go by without saying we are out in the community at least every week and with presentations, and sometimes 2-3 times a week. And we welcome any constituent groups or civic and business groups that you want to connect us to. We are leaning into that and happy to help carry the load. And we'll be happy to come back and talk more in May.
Thank you, Mike. Director Roback?
So I've got a lot of opinions in this arena, but I'm going to confine it to just one. So I'm glad you got the TikTok going, and you did acknowledge there was some direction from the board. I'm not sure exactly what that was, but in social media, we're trying to cast a real wide net, right? So we get certain demographic on Facebook, LinkedIn, X, whatnot. And your focus, your stated focus on TikTok is workforce development, which isn't a bad thing. We're also trying to educate, you know, that demographic too. So I wouldn't confine your TikTok to just workforce development. We're trying to educate our customers, in this case, mainly younger, on all water things, not just jobs. So that would be my counsel to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands. I'll just say kudos to Mike and your team. And Alex, that was a great presentation. So we appreciate the work that you're doing, and it doesn't go unrecognized. With that, we can conclude our action and presentation items. There's no information items. There's no closed session, and there's no further business for this committee. So this committee is now adjourned. E&O in 5 minutes.